This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Let's get this week going. It's Monday, May 18th. Later in our episode, hear about how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting children with special needs. And our healthcare hero is in Florida, overseeing a COVID-19 testing site in Palm Beach County. But first, this news. A brand new antibody test fast-tracked for use by the FDA got everyone excited last week, but it turns out it may have been a little too fast. Abbott Laboratories' COVID-19 diagnostic tests may return false negatives, the FDA warned. The agency said it is still evaluating data from 15 adverse event reports suggesting the tests were producing false negatives. The FDA said the tests can still be used to correctly identify positive cases in minutes, but negative results may need to be confirmed with a separate test. Dying to be cool is usually a hyperbolic phrase, but it might take on a whole new meaning during this pandemic. Turns out men are less likely to wear face masks because they're not cool, or a sign of weakness. That's according to a paper authored by researchers from Middlesex University London in the UK and the Mathematical Science Research Institute in Berkeley, California. Men in the U.S. report less intention than women to wear face coverings, especially in counties that don't mandate wearing them. The study also found that men are more likely to report feeling negative emotions while wearing a face covering, and that men are less likely to believe they'll be seriously impacted by COVID-19. Well, most of us know that wearing a mask is important, but is wearing a mask for too long a possibility? Radio MD's Scott Webb has more information on our new accessories.
Though it is highly recommended that we all wear masks in public, there's some evidence to suggest that the prolonged wearing of some kinds of masks may lead to other health concerns. Some may experience a condition called hypoxia, which causes body tissues to be deprived of oxygen. Another condition known as hypercapnia could also arise. This condition is caused by the intake of too much carbon dioxide. It should be noted that most of us will not experience these conditions because cotton masks are not tight-fitting and we only wear them for short periods of time. That said, if you have a pre-existing respiratory illness, you may need a different type of mask, one that has a built-in breather, like N95 masks. However, N95 should still be reserved for healthcare workers only. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Let's wrap up our news segment on a lighthearted note. Pangolins are the world's most trafficked mammals, but the virus could be slowing down their trade. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
Pangolins look like scaly anteaters. They are found in Africa and Asia and are the world's most trafficked mammals as they are illegally hunted and traded for their meat, which is considered a delicacy in China, and their scales, which are used in Chinese traditional medicine, according to a story in The Guardian. And in the past few weeks, they have been linked to the initial outbreak of COVID-19. Scientists believe it started in bats, but some are saying there was an intermediate host, the pangolin. So from bat to pangolin to human. So whereas COVID-19 has been a human disaster, it may be good news for pangolins, which are on the verge of extinction, as the Chinese government has taken action against the wildlife trade of pangolins. Now, in the best case scenario, it will not just be pangolins that benefit. Reducing the demand for illegally traded wildlife will help many species and protect us all from future pandemics. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
The COVID-19 pandemic is affecting everyone in a multitude of ways. How are children with special healthcare needs uniquely impacted, especially those who often receive important care during the school day? Dr. Lynn Davidson sat down with Radio MD's Melanie Cole recently to discuss how families can cope with the current situation.
Give us a little bit of rundown what's happening, what you're seeing happening about the potential negative impact, academic, social, emotional, because of COVID for children with special needs.
So I'm going to start in saying that this is especially affecting our patients with children with special healthcare needs, but it's affecting all children. So I don't want to ignore that fact. And I also want to say that the school systems are really trying hard. They're working overtime to try to help our families, but they're, unfortunately, everyone is trying to learn new skills. And it's becoming difficult for families and for their children to really keep up. And with our patients with special healthcare needs, just like other children, they are missing that routine, the routine of going to school. They're missing the social interaction. They're missing the academic support. They're missing their therapies. And so it's concerning. And everybody's got to be a little more creative, both the teachers, the parents, and the students, in order to try to prevent our children losing their abilities and their the things that they've gained over the last couple of years academically and with their therapies.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because as they progress in those therapies and they get more confident, then those therapies are, you know, cut down. That's going to also affect self-esteem and the mood in the household. So tell us a little bit about what you want parents to know about those ways to get creative, as you mentioned, because maybe they don't have an idea of what you mean by that and how maybe telehealth visits can help with some of those missed therapies, and really what you want them to know about ways for them to get creative.
So the key here is to do the best you can, because some families have good internet access, some families don't, some families have multiple children who need access to that internet and to that perhaps one computer in the household. So what I'm recommending to families is to remember that they really know their children best, and to depend on that to help their children move along and be able to progress. In some instances, families are just going to have to go back to basics. I have a family that has two young ladies with intellectual disabilities. They're non-English speakers. And what they've done is they've gotten packets through the mail, and we've encouraged them, and the school has encouraged them, just to do the best they can, to go back to basics, to make sure their children thrive, and to use things that we do in the home and what we have in the home to make sure that they can progress. So I'll give you an example. In addition to the intense learning that the schools are trying to provide for our children, use card games to try to work on math. Use cooking as a way to learn science with measurement. And even our patients with special health care needs, to the best of their ability, can do those kinds of things. This family I mentioned earlier, these children are significantly intellectually disabled. So mom is working on just writing their name, the alphabet, the basic kinds of things. Now, it depends on your child and what level you're at in order to try to build on those skills.
You can hear this full conversation on another of our Radio MD podcasts, Healthy Children, found on any podcast platform. And our healthcare hero takes us down to Florida today, to Dr. Anna Ferwerda, the medical director of the C.L. Brumback Primary Care Clinics. She is involved in the oversight of the COVID-19 testing sites that the Brumback Clinics are running in Palm Beach County. Doctor, tell us why it was important for you to expand testing in your county.
So I think it's important for everyone to know that testing for COVID-19 and self-quarantining when you're sick are the most powerful tools we have as a community to manage the virus and avoid spreading it to others. So when we had the chance to partner with the county and provide testing at multiple locations, we really were excited to do it. And I think, too, there's so many presentations of COVID-19. And they can range from being asymptomatic to being critically ill. So testing is going to be a constant part of our new world until we have a vaccine.
How has the community responded to this access? How many people are you seeing in the region getting tested?
So the feedback from the community is really overwhelmingly positive. When we do about 3,300 tests a day, and we've done about 18,000 over the course of testing, most of them at the FIT Team ballpark in West Palm Beach. When the patients come through the testing site, they hold up signs in their car windows that say thank you. A lot of patients, they're very nice. So when they roll down their windows at the actual swabbing station, they say thank you. And it really is very heartwarming to see how grateful they are to be able to have testing.
Now, from what I've seen in the news, just as a regular person, it looks like a pretty laborious process, changing PPE after every test, being outside all day. I mean, how do you and your team just keep your heads up and keep going day after day?
Yeah, so it is laborious to change PPE appropriately, and the testing is mostly outdoors just for infection prevention and control. But we're obviously very careful to maintain good infection control, especially between, to make sure that everything is clean for patients and avoid spreading the disease ourselves. It hasn't been very difficult to stay upbeat. It's actually been really easy just because of all of the positive feedback we get from the patients. And I think our organization as a whole, most of the people who work here tend to be very community oriented and really enjoy participating in different endeavors that help the community. So they're all really eager to participate.
How are you all feeling now looking towards the future? Are you hopeful?
Yeah, so I think we always have to stay hopeful. I think scientists are working hard to try to create a vaccine, so we definitely want to cheer them on as well and make sure that they're enhancing testing and vaccination and those kinds of things. It's definitely changed some of the way that we practice medicine. So we are offering patients more ways to receive more telemedicine, more visits on the telephone, and more mail order delivery medications and those kinds of things. So I think for a lot of patients, that's actually been a big improvement in how they receive care. So good things have come out of this. I think it's been difficult for many of us maybe not to see our family members or not be able to go to the places where we're used to. But I think in the end, hopefully it'll be worth all of the things that we gave up. For all of maybe our grandparents or family members who maybe aren't able to fend off the virus for themselves, right? So I'm really hopeful for the future, and I think medicine will change for the better, hopefully, because of this. It's been a long couple of weeks, I think, just because we had to get all the testing off the ground relatively quickly, and primary care is really our main focus. I think the most important thing is for anyone who is our patient or would like to be our patient to know that we are still providing care over the phone, we're still providing telemedicine, and we are working on opening all of our clinics. Right now, we're only partially operational, but opening most of our clinics in a way that can afford the patients to socially distance. So I think that's really the one important takeaway, is that people should continue to go see their primary care doctors or theirs and still take care of their hypertension and diabetes and all those things. So just I know most practices are getting more options for remote care and telemedicine and those kinds of things. So I would just encourage people to try to stay healthy and continue their medical care as best they can.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Tell us about your week ahead. Or let us know how we're doing as a podcast team at COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. That's COVID19Daily@RadioMD.com. Have another great Monday in quarantine. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.